welcome to the weekend and welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee and I serve as a teaching pastor at our Plain City campus and really enjoying our Philippians series where overarching each week throughout this series, we're really seeing how God is the source of unshakable joy. And as life groups have kicked off and we've got some amazing devotional content by our writing team. Just really excited to dig into the end of Philippians chapter 1. So much has already happened in this first chapter. We see how Paul is filled with joy because of what God has done and is doing and will do through the Philippian church. But also we see Paul's passion for the gospel to transform people's lives, yesterday looking at how we are to live a life, live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. And so much of how we live is impacted and driven by what we love and who we love. And hopefully for us as believers, that's Jesus. And so let's jump in today and look at verses 28 through 30. And actually, just for a little context, I do want to read verse 27, because it really helps impact really the last part of this section here as we finish out chapter one. And so let me go ahead and read that. God's word says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." We'll come back to that in just a moment. Verse 28 through 30, where we're at today. "And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have." And so I don't know if you've ever done this, but for me, I love watching sports live. I love being able to watch games. And so whether it's we've gotten into the Caitlin Clark mania and watched some Indiana Fever games or just, you know, some college football, whether it's the Buckeyes or my Bobcats. What'll tend to happen is usually if you're like me, maybe your Saturdays are filled with kids' sports and activities and things of that nature, but you want to be able to watch the game. But sometimes you can't help but peek and see the score. And sometimes what I'll see and get updates is I'll know what the score of the game is and maybe see that we're winning. And then when I go back and watch it, as I'm watching it, you know, kind of maybe not caught up to the live point or am watching it later, that knowing that perhaps we've won the game, but watching the game, there are these moments that happen where you're like, oh no, like this is going to be bad, or we make a mistake, or we turn the ball over, or we get from behind. But there's a sense inside of me that I'm like, but I already know the outcome. So I don't got to worry about this, right? Like I know that my team wins. And so no matter kind of what's happening in this moment, I know that somehow we're going to come out on top. And I think this is kind of what Paul's getting at here, is he's talking about that because as you live your lives worthy of the gospel, that you stand firm. This idea as a soldier standing firm, it's not a kind of passive, but it's a rooted in this idea that we are protecting and we are united together as the people of God for the gospel. And we're striving, right? As athletes, like we're contending and training and we're working side by side one another for this faith of the gospel. And because of that, we're going to experience opposition, which is where in verse 28, he takes us and he says, hey, don't be frightened at anything by your opponents. He's saying, I know that it's going to be tempting to get scared, to be afraid. One of the most common, if not the most common command in the Bible is do not fear. Do not be afraid, because we as human beings, right, creatures become afraid. We become afraid of one another. We become afraid of sin and Satan and our enemy. We become just fearful in our faith. And what Paul is saying to you and to me is he's saying, hey, don't be frightened. Have courage. And he says, because of your strength, because of your example, he said, this is going to be a sign. And it's going to be a two-way sign. He said, it's going to be a sign that points to their destruction. It's going to let your enemies know, mostly Satan and his enemies, that they have been defeated. but it's also this sign to you and your salvation. One commentator, I love that it said this, that he talks about it's a sign that's given. He says it's a sign pointing to the destruction and to salvation, to confrontation and confirmation, to judgment and assurance. And so it's just this beautiful sign that as we contend and stay united in our faith in the gospel, that this will show our enemies, right, that they have been defeated and that we are victorious. And then he goes in and tells us this idea that suffering is a gift from God, right? That suffering for the sake of Christ should be counted as joy. It's why James can say, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter trials of various kinds. Why can we have joy? Because our Savior suffered. And we can have joy knowing that as we're faithfully walking with him, whether we experience hardships and difficulties and persecutions and suffering, right, in this world, that we know that we are sharing in the suffering with Jesus. And that can give us great hope to know that we're not alone in that, but ultimately that we're walking in the footsteps of our Savior. And that could be a great comfort to us in the midst of that. So maybe today as we pray, what is a way that you can continue to be bold, to not shrink back, to not let fear drive your emotions, but let your faith, your confidence in the Lord and what he has done. Back in verse 6, right, that he who began a good work in you, right, he's going to see it through to completion. And so how can you and I, how can we live with boldness? I'm going to pray for that. Pray for boldness for you and for me, that we would be bold in our faith so that our enemy will see that he is not having victory over us, but also that we can be an example to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that uniting together, we can boldly live out our faith, pushing back darkness and advancing God's good news in our city, in our communities, in our schools, in our youth travel sports, right, in our car pickup lines, in our classrooms, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and in our homes, that we are going to boldly live out our faith no matter what. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this incredible letter that you inspired to have written, Lord. And we pray that we would live as citizens of your kingdom, Lord, that we would live lives worthy of the gospel. And in light of that, God, we would have courage, Lord, to not shrink back, God, but to be bold, to stand firm in our faith, Lord. And that as we do so, our trust and confidence in you would be an example to our enemy and to other believers in Christ, Lord, that we know that this same suffering that we are going through, Lord, is a picture of the suffering that Christ had went through. And Lord, knowing that suffering that we go through is a gift that helps us to trust and cling to you. And Lord, it can also be this reality that because we're doing something good for your kingdom, we are going to experience pushback and opposition. I said it a couple weeks ago that when we seek to push darkness back, we should not be surprised when darkness pushes back against us. And so because of that, Lord, let us keep contending for our faith and our hope in the gospel. And Lord, maybe be people marked by boldness because we serve a bold God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a few moments and pray?